This is Sunday morning. This is the 6th of June. 3rd of June. The title of this teaching today is The Apple Doesn't Fall Far from the Tree. Touching what is God's. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Touching what is God's. Now I want to clarify today, I don't pick the subjects. I don't pick what the Holy Spirit wants to bring. I don't sit down and study for something to bring. I pray in the Spirit, I read my word, and then it comes. And I write what the Holy Spirit tells me, and then I begin to study and put scriptures to what He's spoken to me about. What I'm going to talk to you about today is the plight of the whole earth, and this is why things have gotten the way they've gotten, and I'll qualify that as we go along. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2, 15. Is that an amplified, matey?
It's my Bible that I listen to. I don't know. It's not an amplified.
We used to have an extra one right there. Okay, Genesis 2, 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and guard and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and blessing and calamity you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So we know the story. We know what happened. In chapter 3, we know that the serpent beguiled Eve and they did eat of the tree. Many years ago, the Lord spoke to me about the tithe being the tree. About what belongs to God. And why Jesus told the rich young ruler, He said, how can I have the true riches, the kingdom of God? And he said, well, first sell everything you've got and give to the poor. And the young man went away sad because he didn't understand the principle of they have it in reverse. How many ministries do you turn on television to watch? And half of their broadcast is advertising for their books, their tapes, their this, their that. Oh, if you don't contribute, we're going to go off the air. See, the love of money is a root to all evil, and here's the root. They touch the tree. There's the evil. There's the other master. There's the other kingdom at work, Satan. Our whole system today has been corrupted by elite bankists called the Federal Reserve, which are private banks that started from a man in South Africa named Rhodes, the one that the esteemed one that does the Rhodes Scholarship. He left all of his fortune to make sure that their Luciferian secret society, the Illuminati, the cabal, infiltrated all through our culture and the world. And guess where they started? The universities, to corrupt the young. Then they moved their agenda on down to public schools. So they have pushed a narrative and an agenda. Why? They touch the tree. They touch the tree. All right, let's look at 1 Kings 15. That's in a nutshell. I mean, there's a lot of in-depth things about how it evolved to what it is today. But it started with a wicked man back in the 1800s, a South African. So you could say the United States is what the Federal Reserve does is they They control everything to do with money. If they want an inflated market, they make it inflated. If they want it depressed, they make it depressed. If they want the stocks like this, they make the stocks like this. These are all private bankers padding their own pockets. This is not even a government institution. This is one of the main things that our president is going to restructure or take completely out is the Federal Reserve. It's what has kept people poor and in debt and can't seem to get ahead. It's never meant to be for the person. It was meant for them to control the people. See, Satan has used these men to control the people, not God, but Satan. This is what this is all about. Now we have to be willing this morning to hear the truth. The Lord said to me, never be afraid of the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's the red pill. We've talked about the red pill, blue pill. The blue pill is ignorant bliss, and they just lead you like lambs to the slaughter. You live and die in bondage just like they were in Egypt, and you just don't even know, why can I ever seem to get ahead? It's not made for you to get ahead. It's made for them to get ahead. But the really fallacy of it all is they don't know they're going to the pit. They don't know. Well, what Satan did caused man to do the very same thing in the garden, and they've been doing the same thing ever since then. The apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. I'm talking about the tree of humanity. Okay, 1 Kings 15. We're here to hear the truth, to make us free. You can't get any better than that. As soon as he was king, Baasha killed all the household of Jeroboam. He left to it not one who breathed until he had destroyed it according to the word of the Lord. This is 1 Kings 15. Oh, I'm sorry, 29. All right. As soon as he was king, Baasha killed all the household of Jeroboam. He left it to it not one who breathed until he had destroyed it according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by a servant Ahijah the Shilonite. Because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he sinned and by which he made Israel to sin, and because of his provocation of the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger, the rest of Nadab's acts and all that he did, are there not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? There was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha, son of Ahijah, began his reign of 24 years over all Israel in Tirzah. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin with which he made Israel to sin. Now, one of the biggest things that Israel, that God had a problem with Israel, was their idolatry. They turned to the gods of the nations, and they did the stuff of the people around them, and they didn't follow the Lord. Okay? Okay, Revelation 2. This is John on the Isle of Patmos, and he has a visitation from the Lord, and the Lord begins to speak to him about the churches at that present time in Asia. Revelation 2:18. And to the angel, messenger of the assembly church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes that flash like a flame of fire, and whose feet glow like bright and burnished in white-hot bronze. I know your record and what you're doing, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your recent works are more numerous and greater than your first ones. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, claiming to be inspired, and who is teaching and leading astray my servants, and beguiling them into practicing sexual vice and eating food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she has no desire to repent of her immorality, symbolic of idolatry, and refuses to do so. Take note, I will throw her on a bed of anguish, and those who commit adultery with her paramours, I will bring down to pressing distress and severe affliction. lest they turn away their minds from conduct such as hers and repent of their doings. Goes on to talk about her children. So Jesus is talking to John, who after his time on the Isle of Patmos, he became the overseer of these seven churches in Asia. And he was talking about Jezebel sits in that church. Jezebel. Jezebel was the one that she worshiped Baal, and she led Israel in Baal worship. Her husband Ahab was king of Israel, and he followed his wife and didn't follow the Lord. And so it's a big deal. Baal worship's a big deal. Baal worship is still going on today. Did you know that? We're going to look at Baal worship a little later on, but I just kind of want to set the precedence of what we're talking about here. Let me look at something. I think I might have... Just a minute. Sometimes I get to studying and I write the wrong scripture down. Just a second. Okay, it's all right. All right. Okay, the same gods that got Israel off are prevalent in our day, even the churches involved. How do we get out of it? Or how do we get off? Money. Money. They touched the tree in the garden. What belonged to God? See, the kingdom way, Jesus told the disciples, when you go into a city, don't take any money with you. Don't even take a change of clothes. Go into a city and find someone worthy to stay with and put your, you know, speak your peace on that house. In other words, he said, don't go thinking I got to be stockpiled with money before I can go. Because God's way is you obey and then he releases the funds. The world's way is, you know, you make all you can and you sit on the can. You touch the tree. You do your own plans. You do everything in your power to make a living and try to get ahead in life. That's what this whole society is about, the whole world. God's kingdom's not like that. Because we get to trusting in our heaps like the Israelites did. They couldn't stand the manna, and they tried to heap the manna up, and then the piles of manna began to stink. And the Lord said, I hate it. Moses got on to him about it. God was trying to teach them, as you need provision, I'll release that provision to you. By the manna, every day they had enough to do what they needed to do. So they weren't just always in a frenzy about what are we going to eat, what are we going to drink, what are we going to wear. See, that's not the kingdom way. And it's the hardest thing in the world for Christians. And there's Christians all over this continent sitting on their 401ks and all of their stuff stored up for themselves. Because they're afraid, God surely couldn't take care of me. Come on, this is what's happening all over the planet. And then what happened? Well, we're sitting on our stockpiles and we didn't release it into the kingdom of God so the gospel could go forth. So the land's been corrupted by Baal worship. Babel, Tower of Babel, same old spirit, same old thing. It's been going on for many, 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 many years. Okay, let's keep going. Money, 1 Timothy 6:10. Let's just start with verse 7 there. For we brought nothing into the world, and obviously we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content, satisfied. But those who crave to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish, useless, godless, and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction and miserable perishing. For the love of money is a root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have been led astray and have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many acute mental pains. But as for you, O man of God, flee from all these things. Aim at and pursue righteousness. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things. See, when we put him first and we say, okay, Lord, we're just going to be about your business, doing what you tell us to do, and as you do it, he releases. The step release program is what we call it. He'll tell you to do something, you step out in faith, he releases the money. But most people are waiting, I'm waiting for the money, and they never do anything. Because they've got it backwards. The kingdom of God does not work like the kingdom of the world. Okay. All right, let's look over to Acts 4. We're going to see a little bit of the kingdom of God at work. 4:32. Now the company of believers was of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was exclusively his own, but everything they had was in common and for the use of all. Now did y'all catch that? Everything they had was in common and for the use of all. And with great strength and ability and power, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace, loving kindness, and favor and goodwill rested richly upon all. Now, after they had this attitude, Lord, everything we've got is yours. As you lead, we'll release it so all can be blessed. And as a result, verse 34, nor was there a destitute or needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses proceeded to sell them, and one by one they gave back the amount received from the sales. And laid at the feet of the apostles, the special messengers, then distribution was made according as anyone had need. So the people had extra stuff, and so they just made available what they had to bless others in the body of Christ. And because of it, no one was destitute and without. See, this is God's way. But on the other side of that, a lot of people get mad because they don't understand the way of faith, because God will make you rich. When you follow him, the riches will run you down. And a lot of people think, well, you're just taking the people's money. Not true. The Lord has spoken to me about this ministry. We're not to charge for anything. Nothing. Ever. I'm not touching that tree. And you know what? If it comes to the day I don't have any money, I guess it's when I need to step down. You get on the air and beg for money, then maybe you need to go off the air. If that's what you're spending your time instead of taking the message God's put on your heart to take. I mean, it grieves me. People that's got wonderful messages, and I swear to you, a 30-minute program, 20 minutes of it, sometimes they'll break three times in their program to beg for money. And I'm thinking, they just don't have the light on it, is what I have to believe. But I know this. The Lord said, freely you have received, freely give. Nobody's going to be able to accuse me we've taken money from anybody. Okay, Acts 5. You may have never looked at this story this way, but I just saw in this story they touched the tree. Acts 5:1, but a certain man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge and connivance, they kept back and wrongfully appropriated some of the proceeds, bringing only a part and putting it at the feet of the apostles. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart that you should lie to and attempt to deceive the Holy Spirit, and should, in violation of your promise, withdraw secretly and appropriate to your own use part of the piece price from the sale of the land? As long as it remained unsold, was it not still your own? And even after it was sold, was not the money at your disposal and under your control? Why then is it that you have proposed and purposed in your heart to do this thing? How could you have the heart to do such a deed? You have not simply lied to men, plain false, and showing yourself utterly deceitful, but to God. Upon hearing these words, Ananias fell down and died, and great dread and terror took possession of all who heard of it. The young men arose and wrapped up the body and carried it out and buried it. Buried it. Now after an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not having learned of what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me, did you sell the land for so much?" "Yes," she said, "for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How could you two have agreed and conspired together to try to deceive the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." And instantly she fell down at his feet and died, and the young men entering found her dead. They carried out and buried her beside her husband. And the whole church and all others who heard of these things were appalled. Great awe and strange terror and dread seized them. See, it was great power in the church at that time, and so things like this happening, the corruption coming into the midst of the glory of God, judgment fell immediately on these people that tried to disrupt it. I mean, people are wanting the glory, man. We want to see the glory, but like I said, there's the judgment side to that glory. It's a two-edged sword. That means we got to be a pure and holy people. Money, the love of it, the love of money, the root to all evils. All corruption followed that love of money, touching that tree. Let's go back to 1 Timothy. I'm going to read that again, but read more of it. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, it was their money to give. They had the say over it. But they decided to say it was so much when it wasn't so much. And they weren't lying to the ministers. They were lying to God. It's kind of like with the eating of the tree, which I don't know that was an apple. There's no scriptural proof that it was an apple. But the point was, when confronted, Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed the snake. See, we all pass the buck. Okay, 1 Timothy 6. "Let all who are under the yoke as bondservants esteem their own masters worthy of honor and fullest respect, so that the name of God and the teaching about him may not be brought into disrepute and blasphemed. Let those who have believing masters not be disrespectful or scornful on the grounds that they are brothers in Christ. Rather, they should serve them all the better, because those who benefit by their kindly service are believers and beloved. Teach and urge these duties. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not assent to the sound and wholesome messages of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and the teaching which is in agreement with God and his piety toward God, he is puffed up with pride and stupefied with deceit. Although he is hopefully ignorant, he has a morbid fondness for controversy and disputes and strife about words, which result and produce envy and jealousy, quarrels and dissension, abuse and insults and slander and base suspicions, and protracted wrangling and wearing discussion, perpetual friction among men who are corrupted in mind and bereft of the truth, who imagine that godliness or righteousness is a source of profit, a money-making business, a means of livelihood. From such, withdraw." Jesus, he was so grieved. He went in the temple and observed one whole day. He observed the money changers in the temple. They had set up their nasty pens with the nasty animals and were selling the animals where the holy place was. And the next day he comes back with a whip. Father said, "Go ahead." And he run them out with a whip. He said, "You've made it a den of thieves." This is supposed to be a place of prayer. It's called merchandising the anointing. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, about 5 years before he went to be with the Lord, he wrote this book. It's a balanced approach to biblical prosperity. And he called on the carpet all the Word of Faith teachers, not all of them, but a big group of them. And he was rebuking them about the fact that they've taken the prosperity message and they put the money in front of, because it got to be where believing by faith was just for things. Just for things. It's not just for things. It's for the operation of the kingdom of God. So they got it off. And so he wrote in this book some things. And he rebuked the ministers about this thing. Some heeded, some didn't, probably. I don't know. God's their judge. But he wrote this book for a reason. Because he was fixing to step off the scene, and he was the, you could say, the number one prophet of his day during that time. And there's nobody that was more simple and easier to understand than Kenneth Hagin. He's the only person the Lord's ever said to me, if you have a problem about something you don't understand, go to his books and see what he had to say about it. He was so simple in that respect. And I'm sure he didn't do what he did lightly. He was not the type of man that would do something like that. Because the church is as guilty as the world as far as merchandising the anointing. I'm not here to bash the church today. I'm here to make it better. The church is changing. The leadership in the church is changing. The leadership in the world is changing. Everything is changing. God is cleaning house. I remember after President Trump got elected, and it was just so chaotic, and it was so awful, and it was such a mess. It was so grievous. I said, Lord, what is going on here? He said, I'm cleaning out the closets. And he gave me, I saw it in the spirit. He showed me there's a closet. It's full of junk, and he's pulling everything out of the closet. Then he's cleaning out the closet, and then he's putting the stuff back in that's useful. And that's what's going on in our world today. God is cleaning out the closets. It may look like these people are doing it, but they're instruments of God. God is cleaning the closets. He's purging his temple. Why? Because he's going to come soon. And he wants the gospel to go forth so that people will have an opportunity, because if he came today, many, many would die and go to hell. Many would die and go to hell. So he wants the church to have an opportunity to get it right, put the kingdom first, take the gospel, have provision for the gospel, because we're putting the gospel first, so provision comes with it when you put him first, the kingdom first, and that everyone has a choice. Everyone has been extended the invitation into the kingdom of God. Not a forced thing. He told the disciples, don't fight with people. If they don't want to hear, shake the dust off your feet, go to those who will. Don't force it. It's not a forced thing. It is an invitation. It's likened to an invitation to a banquet. Most ministries today sell what has been freely given to them by the Holy Spirit. One of Brother Hagin's quotes, many people have lost the anointing because money got in the way. Yeah, they became money-minded. They started thinking about my book, promoting my this, promoting my that. We're here to promote Jesus. Matthew 10. When Jesus came, well, John, he heralded, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent means to change your mind. He was preaching, trying to prepare the way for the Lord to come. Jesus taught the kingdom. He taught freely you have received, freely give. He went all over the place, and he would be confronted with multitudes of people, thousands of people that were hungry and had no place to go. And what would happen? A miracle. God would multiply the loaves and the fishes, or turn the water into wine. Jesus didn't do it. He heard the Holy Spirit say, do this, and he did it. And that's what happened. He said that we'd do the same thing he did. We're not doing anything. Matey, I'm a waitress here this morning. I'm just serving what the Lord prepared. It's the Lord that's doing the work. It's the Lord that's doing the healing. I got a letter this week from a poor old man, bless his heart. He wanted to know, did I heal anybody or did I just talk about it? And I got to thinking about it. I'm probably not going to answer unless the Holy Spirit tells me to, but I thought, you know, I've never healed anybody. But according to Mark 16, I lay hands on the sick and they do recover. I have seen that happen. But was it me? No. Jesus is the only healer. There's no people that heal. Don't put that responsibility on me. These signs shall follow them that believe, it says. Bless his heart, he doesn't understand, but you know. Okay, Matthew 10, 5. Jesus sent out these 12, charging them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and do not go into any town of the Samaritans. This is verse 5. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Freely without pay you have received, freely without charge give. Did he say go on and condemn them for their lifestyles? No. When the Lord was dealing with the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, Jesus rebuked the religious leaders, not the woman. Or the woman at the well, had been married 5 times, and the husband, man she was with was not her husband. He didn't tell her, he didn't rebuke her. He told her about her past. But they both saw the way, and they followed the way. That's what happened. All right. Take no gold, nor silver, nor even copper money in your purse belts, and do not take a provision bag or a wallet for a collection bag for your journey. They didn't take up offerings? What kind of church are you? The kind that knows the people that come here know about tithing. I don't have to. If they do it or they don't do it, that's not between me and them. It's between them and God. Nor 2 undergarments, nor sandals, nor a staff, for the workman deserves his support, his living, his food. Into whatever town or village you go, inquire who it is deserving, and stay there at his house until you leave that vicinity. As you go into the house, give your greetings and wish it well. Do you know there's what they call a righteous man's reward, and there's also a prophet's reward. When you honor the prophet, you take care of the prophet, God rewards you. But on the other side of it, if you're just a righteous man, if you receive a righteous man, you get a righteous man's reward. Peace on your house. Peace. And woe to those that do the opposite between them and God. Many become money-minded and lose the anointing. Follow the money, honey. You can always follow the money. This book right here, I encourage everybody to read it. The Killing of Uncle Sam. It starts with this man's name was Cecil Rhodes. Rhodes received his vision of a new world order on the very day that he underwent the initiation rite of Freemasonry, in which he was pledged to serve as a light bearer. He was from South Africa. The writer of this book is from South Africa, Rodney Harold Brown. He's an evangelist now, has a big church here in the United States. But he goes back into the history, and there's like 39 chapters, and they're just a few pages, but he gives a whole page or so of references where you can go and read this for yourself. But because of this man right here, that's what we're living under today. What's being cleaned out of our nation today is this society. Sad thing is, this man, he died like 49 years old, very sick, very sick. What did he do? He recruited bankers. Bankers, Rothschilds, for one, the Morgans. There's a whole list of them. I'm thinking, you know, this makes really clear how it all got started. There's another one called Killing the Deep State. It tells you the mess that our president walked into, the same mess that got JFK killed, murdered, assassinated by his own people. And the thing is, it doesn't tell you how we got in this sorry state that we're in, but that tells you the history and how it happened. And I'm going, wow. Wow. Eye-openers. Okay. No matter what corruption it is, money and the love of it is at its root. This is not the way of God's people. Our way is the way of faith. And we're going to look at that. 1 Kings is the first one I want to look at. You You know, a lot of people think, well, I can't afford to tithe. Well, you really can't afford not to, because the devil will make sure there's other things that come in your life and take your money. We've seen God's faithfulness. In fact, Danny had us a good testimony about a man that he worked with, and his kids were sick all the time. And the Lord spoke to Danny and said, you go tell him if he pays his tithe, I'll heal his children. And he did. But in the meantime, he was in Dallas. He was in an airport in Dallas, and this black lady named Esther walked up to him and said, Lord says, if you would pay your tithe, he'll heal your children. Very same thing he said. So, you know, God is just trying to get us to do things his way so he can bless us. That's all he's ever been about. The rich young ruler said, no, I can't do that, and walked away sad. Okay, 17:1. This is the kind of people, it's what God does. Y'all there? Elijah the Tishbite of the temporary residence of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. Now Elijah was a man of faith. He spoke and said it isn't going to rain, and it didn't rain. The Lord's been talking to us about calling the shots, and we're going to see that later. We're going to have a part two to calling the shots. So he called the shots. He said, it's not going to rain. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, go from here and turn east and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, east of the Jordan. You shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. He didn't have no money. He didn't have any provision. He disobeyed the Lord. So he did it according to the word of the Lord. He went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. After a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. And he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And she was going to get it. He called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have not a loaf baked, but only a handful of meal in the jar and a little oil in the bottle. See, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and bake it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Oh, don't get me started on the welfare stuff. Made to feel bad. That's one of the agendas of the 2030 agenda, is redistribution of wealth. Take it from the people that work hard and give it to these bums that sit on their rumps and don't do anything. No, he's telling this lady, she's going to eat her last meal. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have not a loaf baked, but only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in the bottle. See, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and bake it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, fear not. Go and do as you have said, but make me a little cake of it first and bring it to me. And afterward, prepare some for yourself and your son. Now, in the old covenant, the prophet was like God, even though the anointing was just on prophet, king, and priest. So that's the way they looked at the prophet. So it was like God saying, well, give me the little you've got. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal shall not waste away, or the bottle of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. She did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. And the jar of meal was not spent, nor did the bottle of oil fail, according to the word which the Lord spoke through Elijah. So this is the way of the Lord. Now, let's keep going. After these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick, and his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, what have you against me, O man of God? Have you come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? He said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her bosom and carried him up into the chamber where he stayed and laid him upon his own bed. And Elijah cried to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, have you brought further calamity upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" He stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray you, let this child's soul come back into him." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the lower part of the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." The woman said to Elijah, "By this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth, in your mouth is truth." So what happened? Food, medical provision, financial provision. Out of seemingly nothing. Mm-hmm. Why? She obeyed the word of the Lord. Mark Taylor prophecies. I want to read the Mark Taylor prophecy here, if I can find it. I thought I had put it here. Please tell me I have it. Here it is. Talking to you about Baal worship and coming out of Babylon. This was 4:26:16. It's called Purging the Temple. If you're not aware of who Mark Taylor is, he had a word in 2011 about Donald Trump becoming president, and then he's had other words that most everything he said is proved true. The Spirit of God says, the 501c3, the 501c3, those that are eating of it are not eating from my tree. For when I told Adam and Eve, "Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for you shall surely see," so it is with those that eat from the 501c3. For this demonic document that you have signed has now made you spiritually deaf, mute, and blind. Woe to those who continue to use this demonic system, for you will be exposed and purged from this evil cistern. Now, the 501c3 is the tax-exempt status that's on churches so that people can get receipts for their giving. And I think the connotation of this is the fact that people won't give if they don't get a tax credit for it. So that's putting money above what God said do. The Spirit of God says, "Can you not see that you're taking a bribe? They will say it's all about the money, and for that you shall be kicked from my tribe. Taking a bite from that apple has taken you from a spiritual body to a brick and mortar and has placed you under the new world order. For how can you be a part of my spiritual body when you have cut off my head? For those that don't turn will surely fall as dead. Tear up the contract, repent, divorce Baal, and remarry me, and I will remove the spiritual blindness so you can once again see. Come out of this before it's too late, for my judgments are on those systems that I hate. Come out now, for I will no longer tolerate." This is not God's system. Never was, never has been. President Trump is going to, he is going to abolish the Johnson Amendment, which is the 501c3. But that was not the word that I was supposed to read. I just had it, so that's what I read. I'm trying to find the one. He was talking about Baal worship and Jezebel. Oh, well, that's okay. We'll just keep going, and I'll read what I've got. All right, this system, Mark 6:24-34, talks about you can't serve two masters. You have to make a choice of what master you'll serve. One master takes you into your own care, caring for yourself. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? It's like the widow. Well, all I have is enough for me and my son to eat, and we're going to die. Total concern and self-care for yourself. This is the system we're under. What's one of the biggest things today in our society that's been the big squawk about everything? Healthcare. Mm-hmm. Healthcare. God never meant for the government to take care of you. Well, that's what it is. Whether it's old bummer care or some new care, it's still care. God wants us to cast care. Okay, God's care, self-care. The world does not care about you, but God does. Satan's plan for you. Now, this is we're going to have a little red pill this morning. Wakey, wakey time. I've read this before, but for the benefit of our visitor, we will. These were the 16-year plan to destroy America. Obama, the goal was weaken the USA globally, instill rogue operators in government, or install, remove good guys from government, fund terrorism, M313 and ISIS, leak classified intel. It's not the Muslim people. Our own government created ISIS. Leak classified intel. They want you to believe a narrative, oh, those horrible Muslims. Same thing happened in World War II with the Nazis and the Germans. False flag events to make it look like this is going on. They're staged. Do people die in them? Yes, they do. But they're controlled events to make you believe a certain thing. 9/11, those dirty old Muslims. No, dirty old government. We won't go into that today. Leak classified intel, military secrets. Special access program sell-off, which I'm not sure what that is. Neutralize North Korea and Iran, or nuclearize them, North Korea and Iran. Cut military funding, weaken the NSA, reveal programs, fund and supply North Korea and Iran with nuclear missiles, weaken command of generals, target and weaken the conservative base, that's us-ins, stage the Supreme Court, kill NASA, U.S. space supremacy, relax our borders, flood illegals. This is Hillary Clinton's goal, her 8 years. World War III, real or orchestrated. This is the destruction of USA and rise of the New World Order. Revise the Constitution. Close U.S. military bases globally. Population control, pocket billions. Now, I explained to you the last time I read this that's what happened in Hitler Germany. The Jews were some of the richest people on the face of the earth. They stripped them of all their wealth, art, gold, you name it. Put them in concentration camps, killed them, 6 million of them. Go see the monuments, men. It's their assignment from the government or the military to go and try to find all the treasures that were stolen during World War II. Restore to the rightful people. Ban sale of firearms. Repeal the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. Destroy and censor opposing new outlets. In other words, alternative media sources. They're being targeted right now. It's terrible right now on Twitter and YouTube for people that have a conservative view. They're being taken out and get strikes against them. Some of them, you know, they make money off their channels, and so their source of livelihood's being taken away. We have people like, what's her name, that had the head of our president. They give her a hand slap while someone like Roseanne Barr, they take her off the air. You know, it's not equal justice, not by long shot. They get a view, but we get no view. Eliminate final good guys in government, install corrupt Supreme Court justices, open borders, kill economy, starve enslaved population. It's the truth, and I don't know however many there are, that they had death camps way all over the United States and the world waiting for her to be in office so that they could start this process. They're redoing them now for them. Haman's been hung on the gallows. What they meant for us is happening to them. You just watch it. And it's going to be televised too. Okay? Remove Electoral College, install the popular vote, because Hillary, they say she won the popular vote. Limit, remove military funding. Obama's Iran nuclear deal, designed to attack the U.S. and take us into World War III. They just disrupted all of this past week, with the Moab, called the mother of all bombs. Yep. See, people can do things against God's people, but they think they can. But what happens when we get on our knees and begin to pray the Lord's Prayer and do what the Lord's told us to do? What happens? God turned it all around and said, oh, no, you don't. No, no, no. The end's not yet. It's not the time of the Antichrist. See, that's what they're pushing for. They want their guy to step up and do his dirty business. They have guillotines. I figure some of the military tribunals, some of the ones that are going to be tried for treason, they probably will be beheaded or hung. Usually military is hanging. Yeah. That's too good for some of them. I'm sorry. Okay. Are we about hate? No, we're not about that. But our president signed an executive order in December. He declared martial law because pedophilia and the trafficking, human trafficking, and the rape and murder of children. This Rhodes Scholar, he had his little group, what he called his little lambs, little boys that he, you know, did his thing with. It's a horrible, horrible thing. They take this, they terrorize these children and drink their blood. And I just think, could you be any more satanic? Now, this is what this undercurrent, this is what he was, and this is what he has spread, and it's just gone like this. It's all about the children. They say they freed something like 3,000 children in Haiti alone from this. I even saw a short video, a Christian guy that I follow on YouTube. It was this underground bunker, I believe it was in, was it Arizona?
California.
It was California?
California, yeah.
Well, it was back under this highway, and it had bunkers for children, and there's no way anyone would hear them cry out or anything. And they even had restraints and things that they put all these children. It was kind of like a in-between place where they're trafficking these children. They put them in there for a few days, and then they'll take them out and move them to another place. And I'm thinking, to think of those children, I can't even place it in my mind how someone could be so wicked. It's Baal worship. What do you think abortion is? We're going to get into that. And it's nothing new. Okay. All right. All right, I'm going to read a couple of articles to you, just a few things about it. This caught my eye. Christian activist letter, aborted babies are food source, empowering Baal. These people that worship Baal, these Freemasons, Luciferians, they've got different names, but they're all the same. They all serve the same devil. They sell body parts. We know with the exposure of Planned Parenthood, they've been exposed. The people who expose them are in jail, but the others run free. Delicious and nutritious, legal and safe abortion is a secret plot to provide human sacrifices for the demon god Baal. Aborted babies are the food source that is empowering Baal, according to the Trump-loving firefighter prophet Mark Taylor. A retired firefighter known as the firefighter prophet, Taylor claims to have foreseen the Donald Trump presidency as early as 2011, according to a report filed by Right Wing Watch. Taylor is also the author of the best-selling book, The Trump Prophecies, an astonishing true story, The Man Who Saw Tomorrow, and What He Says Is Coming Next, which has been wildly successful with the Trump-loving conservative Christian fringe. Right-wing Watch reports that earlier this week, Taylor appeared on Greg Hunter's USA Watchdog program, where he warned that people who support reproductive rights do so only because they want to provide a human sacrifice to the demon god Baal. On the program, Taylor said, "People have to realize the strong man over America is Baal. Baal is a very violent entity. He is the second in Satan's triune. He is the second in command. He is the counterfeit Christ. It feeds off the blood of the innocent, which is the aborted babies. This is why Baal is a strong man, because the aborted babies are the food source that is empowering Baal." Taylor added, "If you're listening to these politicians and they're telling you, oh, we're pro-choice, it's all about a woman's rights to choose, it's all about women's health, you're being duped, you're being lied to. They don't care anything about you. All they want from you as a woman is to be a breeder for that food source, for you to abort that baby to feed their god called Baal. They don't care anything about your right to choose. They don't care anything about your health. All they want is that baby aborted as a sacrifice, because every time you abort a baby, it's a sacrifice to their god called Baal. Bottom line, no worries. Baal will go hungry soon, because Taylor also believes that God is going to supernaturally remove 5 Supreme Court justices so that President Trump can replace them and overturn Roe v. Wade. I'll stop there on that one. Here's a picture of Baal, and you can see that they're handing their baby to this god, Baal. Moloch is another one. I didn't really do any study on him, but you know, the golden calf is what they built in coming out of Egypt, the golden calf, and that's Baal. Yeah. But I know they sell those little body parts, and they also practice cannibalism, so it's not just, aborted babies, but these children that they kill, you know, then their sex stuff. Okay, Baal worship is alive and well in the world. Baal worship is alive and well in America and the world, though they do not call it that today. Let me explain. First, we must look back in time and see how Baal was worshipped. Actually, there were two gods which were essentially worshipped the same way, Baal and Ashtaroth. Moloch was another such god. Two practices in particular are mentioned in Scripture. First were sexual orgies under every green tree, where promiscuity and perverted sex acts were the norm. Second was passing their babies through the fire. This was murdering the babies that resulted from the orgies by throwing them alive into a fire pit to be burned to death. These things were done in the name of the pagan idol god Baal, Ashtaroth, and Moloch. How are we doing this today? The gods have been renamed sexual freedom and a woman's right to choose. The religion is called pleasure and convenience. We live in an age of loose moral standards where it is acceptable and encouraged for us to have sexual partners outside of marriage. Just watch television. There is hardly a show on TV that does not glorify hunting sexual partners or having such relationships without being married first. Then when the seed bears fruit, we murder the unborn baby. One method of abortion is a saline chemical solution injected into the womb, which literally burns the baby to death. Another is to go in with a knife and cut the baby up, torture, cutting also being a popular form of satanic worship. Then there's the partial birth abortion, where they crack open the skull of a partially born child and suck out the brains with a vacuum. The priests or the abortion doctors and the teachers are on our television, or writers and producers and others who promote this lifestyle. One of the high temples is Planned Parenthood, an organization whose sole purpose it makes modern Baal worship acceptable to the people. Now, I'm not going to go into the history of Israel. It talks about Israel and their Baal worship, but you get the picture without me having to read the whole thing. Okay. All right. What is the agenda? What is Satan's agenda? John 10:10, kill, steal, destroy. What's Jesus' agenda, God's agenda? Life, and that more abundantly. This is the red pill. The blood of Jesus is the red pill. Knowing the truth, is that the answer to the world? Many people are deceived in this. This is the answer. The gospel is the answer. Do we need to go in and tell them you're doing wrong, you need to stop doing that? No. We need to say, we've got good news. Do you know Jesus died for you? Do you know he wants to help you out? He wants to help you out of anything and everything? Be the Lord of your life? This is the message. We're messengers of reconciliation. We're extending an invitation to people. We're not judging people. Because we've all been sold a bill of goods. We've all believed things we shouldn't have believed. What does the Word of God do? It renews our mind. We begin to see God's will again and say, that's right. Okay. The blood of Jesus, John 3:16. He says to come out of her, my people. What it says in Revelation, come out of her, my people. Don't partake of her sins. And I have a word here. Go ahead and stop that, and I'll put this on the other. Thank you, Lord.